I've been thinking that the problem of applying things is one of our problems. And it seems a little difficult for us to just apply the scriptures to us and our lives. But I have thought and have come to the conclusion that the scriptures are of very little value to us unless we do apply them. Unless they mean something to us today. If we feel like the scriptures are just for somebody else some other time, they won't be worth a flip to us. But if we believe they're for us and apply them to us, then they'll become precious and valuable to us. They'll be important to us. Now that's the kind of thinking I'm doing in regard to the text I have for this morning. It's a very familiar text. If I'd tell you where it was, well, you could all probably recite it from memory. But it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's Romans 8, 28 and 29. Well, this is real precious and valuable, but it doesn't mean a thing to you and me unless we apply it to you and me. As I sat there in my seat a few minutes ago and was reflecting a little and meditating some, I remembered the time of trouble I had in Nigeria. And in that time, the Lord brought this scripture to my mind. And He told me, He says, you've been preaching to other people for years and teaching them that all things work together for good to them that love God. And now He says, it's your turn. It was my turn to apply it to myself, and by His help I did apply it to myself, and it lifted me up. And it was my source of comfort. But this seems a little more difficult for us to actually definitely to apply to ourselves when things hit us because of the way that those things are affecting us. And we can hardly grasp it many times that there's some good around here somewhere for me. But there is, and if we can solidly believe this text and believe it for ourselves and apply it to ourselves in our present circumstances, and believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, whatever happens to us, we'll just start looking for the good in it. There's some good around here somewhere for me. And I'm going to submit myself to the Lord and the Lord's will and seek to obtain that good. God has a purpose in everything. He says, them who are the called according to His purpose. And God has a purpose in everything that He does. He isn't a purposeless God. The Scripture said He works all things according to the counsel of His own will. The will of God is working through everything that happens to us in life. And he works all things according to the counsel of his own will. And as we submit and surrender to his will, we'll begin to receive the benefits that he had in mind when he permitted this thing or that to happen to us. The psalmist said in the fourth psalm, in the first verse, he says, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." Let us realize that the most of our enlargement, our growth, our increase in the divine virtues and graces of God in our lives comes through distress, through trouble, through problems. And that's where we do the biggest part of our growing. That's good growing territory, good soil, if we can just believe it. "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." And Joseph said in the 41st chapter of Genesis in verse 52, when one of his sons was born, I forget which one this was, but he gave him his name. It meant fruitful. This was either Manasseh or Ephraim. I forget which one it was now. What? Ephraim. One that says Ephraim. Thank you. He says, "Because he has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction." Joseph was down there in trouble. And he had been wonderfully mistreated. He had been cut off from his family by an act of his own brethren, sold as a slave down into Egypt. That's real affliction. But he said, "You made me fruitful down here." Folks, if we could just realize it, there'll be more fruitfulness born in our lives through affliction and trouble and problems and provocations than there will be at any other time. And if we can just keep ourselves under control in those times, and not manifest anything but just the meekness and gentleness of Christ right on through those temptations and provocations that come to us in life, just hold ourselves under control and sanctify the Lord God in our heart, and be ready to give to every man a reason of the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear, we can bear some good fruit right there. We can be fruitful in the land of our affliction. In the 48th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 10, he says, "I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Brother and Sister Sal used to sing a song. I wish I knew it. I'd sing it too. But I heard them sing it several times. And I remember these words of it: "Through trials and tribulations is the way God leads us home. As a road we travel, that's where he chooses his people, in the furnace of affliction." But folks, that's what we're after, to be chosen, isn't it? I want to be chosen. But he chooses us in the furnace of affliction. in the furnace of provocations and trials and tests and temptations, physical afflictions and sicknesses, and one thing and another that we pass through, God chooses us by those means, and it's through those means that He leads us home. In the 66th Psalm, verse 10, He says, "For Thou, O God," now watch this, because we don't lay this on God, we lay this on the devil. And the devil loves to have it that way. He loves to have us blame him with all the things that happen to us that aren't pleasant. Lay it on the devil. But the psalmist said, "For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." God did this. You know why the devil loves to have us blame everything on him that isn't pleasant to us? It's simply because all that we've ever been taught in the scriptures to do with the devil is to resist him. And if we conclude that our present situations are all from the devil, we'll just rise up and buck against them. But suppose it's God. Suppose He's trying to work out a purpose in us. Work some good for us. Suppose it's Him. We'll rise up and buck against it just the same because we think it's from the devil. Every unpleasant thing that happens to you in life isn't from the devil. Every trial and test and provocation that comes against you in life isn't from the devil. The psalmist said God did this. "For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net." Oh yeah, the devil's got me cornered up here. No, God may have you cornered. God may have you in a net. He does those things for a purpose. He has an objective in everything He does. I remember telling you about a man that we had in our congregation at Anthony, Kansas, who specialized in training gated saddle horses. And when he got through with those horses, he could just cluck to them in a certain way or pluck their mane in a certain way or pat their shoulder in a certain way or whatever. Each thing was a signal for a different gait. And he would go through the routine, and every time he'd do one of these things, that horse would just respond and go into a different gait. I went by there one day, and he had one of these horses. It was a beauty. And he had it out there, and he was tying a loop, a rope around one of its rear hoofs, and then he'd pull that rope till he got that hoof right up against that horse's body. And that horse would just faunch and rear and faunch and rear and buck and kick, and he'd just hold him there with that leg right up against his body. After so long, why, he'd let it down and take it loose and get the other leg, pull it up there, and it'd go through all that again. I said, "F.L., what you do that for?" "Well," he said, "you see, when I get through with these horses and get them trained, they're going to be nice animals for somebody. They're sweet saddle horses. But he said many times animals get out in the pasture and they'll get tangled up in barbed wire in the fence, or they'll get tangled up in briars and thorns out there, and says they'll just faunch and rear and kick and tear themselves up till sometimes they're not good for anything. They have to be shot. They're so damaged. So he says, I just put this horse through this training and says, I keep this up till this horse doesn't kick and faunch and rear anymore. Says, as long as he bucks and faunches and rears around, I just keep up with this. Till after a while, he learns he can't kick out of this, and that he's going to have somebody to get him loose from this. Then he says, I don't do it anymore, but he says, when I turn that horse over to somebody and he gets out in the pasture, says, if he gets in a condition like that, gets tangled up in thorns or briars or a barbed wire fence or whatever, said, just as soon as he feels something clamp around his ankles, he's already learned he can't kick out of them, says he'll just stop and stand right there. He won't move till somebody comes and gets him out. Well, I thought that was a pretty good lesson right there. I picked that up and I carried that along. And God puts you and me through some training too. And crowds us right up in a corner. He gets us right in the net. There's no way out for us. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know where to go or what to do. And then God just helps us out and releases us from that. And he'll keep that up and keep bringing us into the net and crowding us up in corners till we learn we can't do anything. And when we see things kind of closing in on us, we just have already learned that we can't handle them, and we just submit to God right there and wait on him to come and work his works in us, to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And that takes the advantage away from the enemy. The enemy is not able to impose upon us and get us to faunch and rear around and get sharp, and we get all bent out of shape and worried, and different ways we behave ourselves. We've already learned that doesn't help us any. So we just stop and stand still till the Lord comes and turns us loose, gets us out of there. God knows how to train you and me for meeting the problems of life. And we get out there and get to meeting the devil, he'll work a lot of things on us, and God knows that. So he puts us through a training process before these things happen to us, and helps us learn a few things that we need to know. All of God's dealings with our souls is for the benefit of our souls and the enriching of our spiritual lives. And if we can grasp that and get a hold of that thought, and if we're actually seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and putting those things foremost and paramount in our lives, we won't have a bit of trouble grasping this text. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. God did it. Sometimes God is working out his purpose in our afflictions. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. I remember the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy law. He learned some things through his affliction. God is trying to teach you and me, let us bear in mind that the goal is perfection, and in order to produce perfection, it takes some strong discipline to bring that to pass. And to perfect us in our spiritual lives and in the grace of God. God's not trying to make perfect humans out of you and me. He knows he can't do that, and we know it too. Humans have human frailties, and they just don't get perfect, humanly speaking. But he's seeking to perfect you and me in his image and in his grace. And he has his way of doing it, and he knows just how to do it. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. Oh, we don't like that. We buck at that. People just aren't going to treat me this way. People just better not do this to me. God may tone us down a little bit. He caused men to ride over our heads. God did it because he saw we needed it. We needed a little toning down. We needed a little bringing under control here, a little development of power and authority over ourselves and our lives. And he just let men impose on us and take away our rights and mistreat us and maybe ignore us and one thing and another that men do to men. He allowed that to happen to us, to bring us into line. We went through fire. You know, I used the text a while ago, thou hast chosen us in the furnace of affliction. Now he said we went through fire and God was doing it. We don't like that, do we? Fire burns. We don't like that. But God was doing it. I remember a text in Proverbs 17th chapter, maybe in the 3rd verse. Might be this one. He says, the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, but God trieth the hearts of men. And I thought like this, the fining pots for silver, and if you and I are just satisfied with a mediocre, secondary kind of an experience and relationship with God compared to silver, maybe the fining pot will do. But the gold takes the furnace. To purge and purify the gold, the furnace is necessary. The fining pots for silver, the furnace for gold. But God help you and me that we'll not be satisfied with any mediocre secondary experience and relationship with God. But remember, Evelyn tells me right along, you get what you pay for. And if that's all you're willing to pay for, that's what you'll get. But if you want to be gold tried in the fire, it's going to take some fiery furnace experiences. Passing right through the fire furnace, but let us remember in the 3rd chapter of Malachi in verse 3, he said, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver and purge the sons of Levi as gold and silver is purged. God's operating the furnace, don't forget that. And he's putting us through the furnace to purify and purge us and make gold out of us. Give us a top-notch experience with him. That's his objective. And he's putting us through this, but he's operating the furnace. He doesn't just put you and me in the furnace and slam the door on us and go on off and forget us and leave us there for whatever might happen to us. But he puts us in there and he sits right there and watches that furnace, and he's a master at this business of refining souls. He's been in it a long time. He's made pure gold out of many, many souls, and he knows exactly just how to operate that furnace, and he sits right there and watches that operation. And if he sees the fire's getting a little too hot on us, he'll just turn it down a little bit. And if he sees we need a little more fire, he'll turn it up a little bit to accomplish his purpose. We went through fire and through water, through the torrents and the floods, the rivers. But we have a promise in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. In verse 3, he says, when you walk through the or pass through the waters, they'll not overflow you, or I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall any flame be kindled upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. God's taking care of things. How rich do you want to be? How rich can you get? What kind of an experience are you satisfied with? What kind of relationship with God do you desire? You get what you pay for. Evelyn's about got me convinced of that. that you get what you pay for. But I'm talking about all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I was thinking of Samson. He was on his way down to see his girlfriend, and he wanted this girl, so he has taken his parents along this time to make a deal for her. And a lion came out and roared up and roared right in his face. Well, that's pretty abrupt and pretty startling. Most anybody'd panic at a thing like that. But the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson, and Samson just took that lion in his bare hands. It specifies in the scriptures, he wanted us to know what God did in this operation. Said he had nothing in his hand when he did this. And he just took that lion in his bare hands and tore it apart just like it had been a kid. Throwed the carcass off out there. Went on his way. On the way coming back, he passed this place and he remembered about that lion. So he turned aside and went out there and found the carcass there, and it was full of honey. So Samson filled himself with the honey and took some back to his parents. But he didn't tell them where he got it. But he knew where he got it. That was important. But what I was thinking about this was that many folks went through life spiritually hungry and on short rations because they didn't have enough lions that they had slain along the way to eat honey out of as they passed along. Meeting a lion face to face and him rearing right up on you, that's a pretty devastating, startling incident. It'd about demoralize and panic anybody. But out of that come honey. The sweetness of the Christian life comes out of a life that's got a lot of lions that people have slain along the way, and they're eating honey out of all their carcasses. All those Ebenezers that are set up along the way. Those things wherein God has helped us hitherto, and He will help us yet. The song says it's grace that brought us safe this far, and grace will lead us home. God's grace is still going to handle our lives. These Ebenezers, these experiences, the severe, rough things that we have been through. I mentioned one time about passing through the depression time. Several of you folks in here are old enough to remember the depression time. These younger folks aren't. They don't know anything about things like that. But I mentioned about passing through those depression times, and incidentally, the Lord blessed me and my family through that time, and we got through without trouble. We ate just as good as we ever ate at any time in our lives right on through there. I've heard some folks say all we had was cornbread and beans and so on. Well, God fed us on the best of the wheat, so to speak. Fried chicken and pure cream and butter just in abundance and eggs more than what we could do anything with, and fresh meat, and oh, we lived good right on through there, so I have no complaints. But I was telling something about this one time, and I said, when we were in there, we just gloried in the strife and went right on. We never thought much about it. But I said I wouldn't care to go back through that kind of an experience again. And a brother that I was talking with, he says, why wouldn't you? He thought that was strange that I'd not desire to go back through that. Well, I didn't have any desire to go back through it, and I don't have any desire to go back through it now. But whatever happens to us, let us remember that God is on hand. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. And not only do we want to remember that God is on hand, but God is in control. God's in charge. He has everything under control. Works all things according to the counsel of His own will. But look what happened here as we sum up this little episode here in the 66th Psalm, verse 12. We went through fire and through water, through the torrents of the raging floods. We've been through experiences like that. I have and you have too. But He said, Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. That's what He was after. That's where He started with you. When He started, He wanted to enrich your life. He wanted to bless your soul. He wanted to deepen your experience in the Christian life. He wanted to be more real to you and make a closer bond between you and Him. That's what He was after. And He got you there. I've heard people give testimonies, older people that have been through the mill, so to speak, down through the years of their lives, and they give a beautiful testimony and many things that God had done for them. People say, my, I wish I had an experience like that. Well, the question is, are you willing to go through the things that those people have been through? Pay the price that those people have paid for an experience like that. An experience like that is beautiful. And it's really attractive. And it's honoring and glorifying to God, and it blesses the souls of everybody around people like that. And we covet experiences like that, but those people that have those kind of experiences have paid a price for them. But you get what you pay for. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Amen.